How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Ingles crosses over, drives, hangs in the air, flares back to Hayward, rotates to the corner to Hill. Hill drives, four on the clock, to Johnson with three.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 6th of June.
What are 24 and 30 worth? What is the Jazz draft strategy? We'll talk about that, plus look at NBA Finals Game 2 and moving forward. That's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Sorry, no podcast yesterday. We had an I'm the driver and the caddier. We had an early golf tournament. I didn't play. I don't do anything. She plays. I couldn't. We teed off at 7:30 in the morning in Tooele. So I was not recording at 4:20 in the morning. Thursday could be an issue as well, as could Friday, frankly, but I'm going to try to get him in. So we'll try to get something in. There's a, you know, with the game Wednesday night, I think that's when we go again, isn't it? I don't even know. I don't even know the final schedule. I know the hockey schedule. No, it's we go Wednesday night. They go Thursday, right? So I'll try to get something out maybe late that night for you. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. That's right, Murdoch Hyundai. Hope everybody has gotten to check it out. I got an email from a guy the other day that says, all right, I'm checking out a Hyundai. I'm driving the Hyundai Santa Fe. I've been blown away by it. I've been blown away by all the bells and whistles you can get for the price, the quality of the smoothness of the drive for the price, the really just the overall experience for a reasonable price number that I just didn't really know you could get. I'm not a huge car guy, I'll be totally honest with you, because partially I always thought you had to just pay so much money for a new car that I never did it. So in, for example, we just sold two cars that had 200,000 miles and bought two cars that have 100,000 miles on them. That's kind of who we are as a car family. But when the Murdochs approached me, I went down there, got to know the Murdoch family, really enjoyed to get to know Blake and the guys there, and then I've been driving the Hyundai, and my eyes have been wide open. In fact, I was talking to a buddy here who told me that he's CEO of a major company, well-off dude, and his son just turned 16, and he was saying, you know, I did all the research, and that's what I came down to, was that the Hyundai Santa Fe was the right car for him. So that it was cool. I kind of told him about it, and he said he saw I was driving it and said, yeah. So anyway, I'm driving the Hyundai Santa Fe. Really been blown away by what you can get for the dollars. And then I strongly suggest you do it with the Murdochs. I've gotten to know that family. Good people. 4646 South State Street is and they're going to make sure you get an experience as though you came over to their house for dinner. They want you to leave as though you have had direct contact with the Murdochs and you feel good about who they are when you speak about them across the Wasatch Front. You speak of them very, very well. All right, let's get to the show today. One of the questions I keep getting a lot of is, what can we get for 24 and 30 and I don't think you can take 24 and 30 and move them for much value. Like I guess if you were to take if 21 suddenly were a player, there was a player on the board at 21 that we badly wanted. I'm looking at the Jonathan Giovanni's mock draft. So TJ Leaf is at 21. Let's say we decide we really want TJ Leaf. Would the Thunder take 24 and 30 for that? I don't know. You'd have to find a team that is in the need of young talent. The player that they want at 21 is going to be available at 24 anyway. So Brooklyn at 22, maybe. They'd be willing to do that because they would acquire another pick and they're short on picks, but they also have 27. So then that seems like that's a lot of the same guys. Portland at 20 has a money crunch, which if they think they have two guys that could play for them, that'd be good, but they need to drop salary more than anything else. Atlanta does not seem like a team that would be interested. And at 18, you suddenly have probably – you're probably moving too high in the draft, and I don't think Indiana's interested in that. So my guess is that very little is what 15 and 20 would get you. There's a little bit of a belief that you got a 50-50 chance of hitting. After 11 – in an NBA draft, the rotation players hit at about 50%. So if you got two shots, you might as well take, that's the only thing I would say is that's the value. You're giving somebody two shots in what's a flip of a coin. So unless there's a player that you just love, you love Zach Collins, you love Justin Jackson, someone of that sort, and you desperately want to move up to go get him. I think the value that the Jazz have, which is difficult, and I don't know, is 24 plus a current player on your roster. Now you can start moving up. But of the current players on our roster, most of them, if you are going to be, unless you suddenly think Joel Ballenboy has big value, players that you're going to have to decide whether you're going to pay them soon. So, again, if you're trying to move up and you're trying to get to 12 to Detroit, they've maybe there's something there, as I talked about earlier, that they let Kentavious Caldwell-Pope go and they fill that gap with it. And so they buy a year. Denver. Denver's got Jamal Murray, Gary Harris. They're not looking for another. Miami, maybe they just have no in. I'm kind of making stuff up here at some point, but it seems unlikely. Portland's already got two picks. If they're trading, they're willing to trade out, so you take money. So I don't think there's a high possibility that you can move 24 and 30 and go up in the draft. In a big way. That's the takeaway I would have for you there. Let's talk some NBA Finals. I have a question for you. What do you think? I'm watching hockey last night, and so the 16th seed, who I believe barely got into the NHL playoffs, has now tied the series at two games apiece and is suddenly on the verge, possibly, of winning the Stanley Cup. Would you rather? They had 94 points. I'd have to. The Flames, I know, had 94 points. I don't know if the Flames got in. Who was the 15th with the Calgary Flames did get in at 94, so I'd have to look back and see who the last team that the I know the Predators and the Maple Leafs, I believe, were the last two teams in, and the Predators, who are Nashville, by the way, got in at 94 points. So did Calgary and the Maple Leafs. So the Lightning are sitting at 94 points in the Eastern Conference and not in the playoffs. The Islanders are sitting at 94 points, and I don't know if they if they got in the playoffs. Otherwise, in the West, the next closest was 87. The point of that is, if you're the Islanders, are you sitting back? They didn't get in. Wondering if they could win the Stanley Cup, and they were like right outside of the playoffs. Which to you is better? The idea that you can have this 16th seed who's, you know, middle of the pack team all regular season, now suddenly after sweeping the Blackhawks, beating the Blues, knocking off the Ducks, has a chance to win the Stanley Cup final, or having a dominant team that's clearly the best team in the league from day one all the way through. The drama, no question, but what does it mean about your regular season, your league, building teams? I don't know. It's an interesting contrast to say between these two. Now, unquestionably, and hockey's, you know, can't hang with hockey obviously can't hang with the NBA in popularity, but the TV ratings of the NBA Finals are incredible, right? The TV ratings of the NBA Finals are through the roof. There's people are loving watching the Warriors destroy everyone. They've loved it for 3 years. So having this dominant, unbelievable team, superstar talent, and all that, frankly, more people are tuning in to make that deal. It's the highest rated. Game 2 was the highest rated since the 2001 Lakers, 2004 Pistons. And it was a blowout. Right? These games haven't been close, and the ratings are way high. So for all the people that argue that this makes it so uninteresting, it's not uninteresting enough to make you turn away. Maybe you personally, maybe the Jazz fan in you, but that's frankly immaterial. The NBA fan is watching the greatness of the Warriors. So, I mean, it's an interesting question. So the question basically comes down to, is your league better off having this variance that's just so crazy that an average 16th team could possibly win the Stanley Cup? And then you have a team that won it that at the end of the year, you're like, wow, they're just not that much better than anyone else. Like they're not that good. Like they're not that great. Or having a team that's like, wow, that's just truly an unbelievable team. I think it's an interesting debate. Feel free to give me your thoughts. A few thoughts on Game 2 since I didn't get him to yesterday. I thought LeBron for the first 32 minutes was one of the best players I've ever seen in a single game. His dominance, I've seen players get hot with the jumper. I've seen players light things up before and dominate a game like that. You know, unbelievable scoring display. His all-around display was just so, so versatile and remarkable. And I can't tell you that it surprised me in any way, shape, or form that he ran out of gas. I just think you're asking too much. Absolutely too much out of him to physically be able to carry that for 48 minutes. And I don't know if they have an answer. Where I'm noticing the biggest difference in Durant is obviously in the half court, go get your buckets. But in transition, the Warriors had a struggle against Cavaliers the last 2 years when Cleveland used to have Dellavedova sprint right to Curry. And then whatever big was not getting down the floor. So Andrew Bogut in the first year and some last year, they would have Tristan Thompson or the whatever other big shadow Curry. And so they really took Curry as a ball handler and a driver out of the game in that capacity. It forced the ball to then go to Draymond, which is just not nearly the same threat shooting. And then, when he got suspended, they couldn't do that. Or Klay Thompson, who's not quite as good a driver. Now with Durant, you just can't do that. You cannot implement the same strategy of being able to shadow Curry with two guys, almost regardless if he had the ball, if you recall correctly, because the weaponry of Durant changes everything. And in some ways, Curry might be your second option that you're trying to defend. Remind you on Durant, according to Pack, number one offensive player in six of the last seven seasons. He's that great. He is simply that great. That's today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. The Locked On NBA Network, Locked On Podcast Network, has some exciting mock draft stuff coming your direction. I'll tell you more as it comes through. If you're interested in advertising on the Locked On Podcast Network or on Locked On Jazz, email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Our rates are reasonable. They're all based on listens. You get a good CPM. You hit a solid demographic, men 25-54 or 18-44, and a passionate audience that reacts to sponsors. Feel free to email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Have a great one. This has been Locked On Jazz.